Because all the hurt sure ain't worth all the guilt they would feel. If you want to know a secret, you can't back out or make it. You ain't never going to be it by taking someone else's away. Never take it for granted. You don't have to understand it. Sure, you want a smile on your face. Who whatever makes you happy people? Happy people don't fail. Happy people just learn. Don't think we're above the push and shove. Just wait our turn. They always got a hand or a dollar to spare. Know the golden rule and what you're going through, even if they've never been there. A modern day lyricist wrote those words, and they're sung regularly on the radio. A group by the name of Little Big Town sings those words. And with those things in mind, I draw your attention to this idea of one happy family. Do these people in this raft look happy, by the way? Have you ever been whitewater rafting? If you've ever been whitewater rafting, you understand what this is all about. You see, there's one in there who's guide, and he's going to be teaching them how to paddle, really. He does. He will say, you know, left paddle, right drag, and he's trying to turn the boat to the right. And then he might say, right paddle, left drag, because he's trying to turn the boat to the left. And then he might say, one side paddle forward, one side paddle backwards as he's spinning the boat around. Sometimes the guides find that humorous when you're on the river and you're scared to death. They'll spin the boat around for you. And then you'll get into the rapids, and then you'll want to turn the boat to the left because you see the rapids on the right. No, he'll give you directions to go to the right so you can ride down the rapids. Now, why do I go to all of that trouble? Because Gary Smalley, back in his day, he passed away last year, by the way, he used to say that in order for a family to be happy and be close or tight, they had to have some sort of intense situation that caused them difficulty. He often suggested camping as a family. You know what camping can be like as a family. There's always the weather to contend with. There's always all those kinds of things that can cause all kinds of intense situations. And I was thinking along that line that whitewater rafting will also cause an intense situation. And you know, as we think on these things this morning, I think that in order to be God's family, we don't have to look for circumstances in this life to cause us intense situations. Amen? They will come our way. We're all in the boat. And there are situations going on. There are rapids that we will not be able to avoid. All kinds of problems that will come our way. And as we do our best to be one happy family, we're going to have to hold on. We're going to have to paddle worthy of our name, paddle in unity, and paddle with a purpose. For you see, as God's people, we want to be one happy family. Amen? And we can be one happy family when we dive into God's Word, and there we will find unity, and there we will find purpose. This morning, as we look back at Ephesians chapter 4, what we see there, verses 1 and 2, give us this idea that as we come together, we need to think carefully on these things. I remember a movie that came out years ago, and I was alive when this came out, so this will show my age. The name of the movie was The Godfather. I was just a baby when that movie... No, I'm just kidding. The Lord is listening. No, I'm just kidding. That movie, Godfather, had a lot of interesting things about it because it was teaching people to be loyal to the family no matter what. Even though there was evil there, it was teaching them to be loyal to the family. And you know, there are many quotes that we use today that came from that movie, and many people don't even know where they came from. Like, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse. Or don't go against the family with anyone else for any reason ever. Those kinds of things go forward. And you know, in this world, when we hear those things today, we kind of smile and grin and go, oh, that's kind of funny. But you know, we live in a world where there are people today, even in this country, who feel that same kind of pressure. That I need to be loyal to something, even though evil abounds. Because surely those Christians can't be one happy family. Folks, I'm here to tell you we can be. We're not perfect, but we can be one happy family of God. We need to spend more time caring for one another, loving one another, and remembering these things as we move forward every day. Because we live in a world where problems are surely there, but some do bring problems on themselves. Others find themselves caught between evil and godliness. Some have difficulty in one way or another because perhaps, like we saw in that movie, if you've seen it, that there would be those who chose to marry into money so they could have things, but there would never be happiness there because money will not bring us happiness. Happiness cannot live where love does not. There are not enough things in this world to take the place of happiness and of love. Paul wrote there in Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, that ye would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice that there are three things pointed to before we get to forbearing one another in love. First of all, is to be lowly. That means that I'm going to be humble and I'm not going to consider myself before others. As a matter of fact, if I start considering others before myself, I'm going to find some joy because I can serve others. And my condition is never quite as bad when I'm helping. He also points to this idea of meekness, being kind to one another. And you know, sometimes being kind can just mean listening without trying to fix it. Just keeping my mouth shut and extending a kind ear. And then he says that we need to be long-suffering and patient. And I'm thankful that people are patient with me because sometimes these cowboy boots that have got points on them, every once in a while I'll forget where the points are as I'm walking around in a crowd. We need to be patient with each other. We want to be a happy family of God's people, amen? Amen. And with that in mind, we've got to be a people who are lowly, a people who are meek, a people who are long-suffering, carrying the load, being patient with one another. Because then Paul goes on to say there, forbearing one another in love. Right after our text this morning, I read you some lyrics from a song that's on the charts today. And I heard another song while I was traveling that really got my attention. And I'm very thankful for the good elders here and their desire that I should be able to go to places like the Memphis School of Preaching and Fred Hardman of the lectures and gain the things that will help us as a family of God to be able to grow here together. And one of those lyrics I heard there again was simply this, love like there's no such thing as a broken heart. Think on that for a minute. Love like there's no such thing as a broken heart. That's the way God loves us. He loves us as if there were no such thing as a broken heart. You see, happy families can become enemies because as human beings, we can let each other down. As human beings, we can make mistakes. As human beings, sometimes we can say things that leave scars. Let me tell you about a family, a mother and a daughter. This mother had two daughters, and she lost her husband early in life to a car accident. And she did all that she could to raise these two daughters. She took on an extra job. She worked two jobs to have all that she could to bring those two daughters up, making sure that they were there and a part of God's family at every opportunity they were there. She worked so hard to do those things, and she spent so much time making sure that her children had what they needed, and those things spiritual and those things financial, that she didn't have time to find another husband. But sooner than she realized, and parents who've had their children grow up before their eyes understand this, sooner than she realized, those children were grown. And they were, and the oldest was looking to go to college. She wanted to go to college, but you see, really, in reality, college was not what was on her mind. Really, in reality, it was all about freedom. Because you see, she didn't look at having to help raise her younger sister as a blessing for them to be close as siblings. No, she looked at that more as a burden. So when the opportunities came, and they did, for her to express her freedom, if you will, those doors were open for her to make poor decisions, and she did. And after a little while, she found herself, as you might expect, in academic trouble, to say the very least. And mother, she was working so hard to try to make sure the older daughter had everything that she needed in school, but it was crippling her financially, and the oldest daughter seemed like she didn't even care. And then when they came together, they began to squabble and fight, and all the words that were said, the charges that were made. Even that oldest daughter blamed the mother for her father's death. How about that? And the daughter and the mother blamed the daughter for every single one of her personal physical ills. And with all of that arguing going back and forth, they separated company and never spoke again. Finally, as time would have it, the mother passed away. The younger daughter tried to connect with the older. The older wouldn't even come to the funeral. That's how angry she was, how bitter she had become. But the younger sister kept reaching out to the older. Finally, as time would go by, they became friends, and they built a relationship again. They didn't speak about the things that had gone in days past. And there were people who scolded the younger sister for loving her older sister so much that she would reach out to her time and time again, but she did. And I think the younger sister sets an example for you and I. She was paddling worthy of the name of Christian, reaching out to her sister over and over again, loving as if there were no such thing as a broken heart. She had a desire to be in unity with her sister once again. And as we look at what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, we see there these things beginning in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, and even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, when we see this idea to begin with, endeavoring, to endeavor means to try, but not to just try. It's a striving. It's pushing forward. It's reaching toward that goal. Have that situation going on in mind, that nothing will get in our way because we simply will not allow it. Endeavoring. That means I'm not going to allow somebody else's jerk behavior to get in my way, and I'm not going to allow me to get in the way either. I want to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We can do that. Do you believe what God said there? We can have unity. The psalmist writes in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment upon the beard that, or upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." When we're unified in God's word, we can be about his business. And when we're about his business, we're inviting others to come and be a part of that happy family. You know how it is in your house? I remember once upon a time my daughter telling me that she had been on a trip, and along the way she was supposed to stop and stay with some friends, and the friend called and said, "Mom and Dad are fighting, don't come here." Well, who wants to invite people to come and be with the family of God who's fighting amongst themselves, glaring at one another from one side of the aisle to the other? We're not fulfilling the word of God when we do that, because we're not being one happy family. Because we've forgotten to forgive and forgotten how to love. If we want to be what God would have us to be, we need to do these very things, because a forgiving atmosphere is one that's inviting. A forgiving atmosphere is one that's basically giving off a sweet savor, if you will. It smells good to be around people who are kind and forgiving. A humble atmosphere is a place where accountability is indeed inspected and delivered because we love one another. We can be those who paddle in unity, walk in unity, one with another. We have the purpose to obey God so that we can all walk arm in arm into that wonderful place called heaven. We look back at Ephesians 4. Look there with me, beginning at verse 11. "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and in a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." You know, when I was in high school, my favorite thing was the band. I loved music, and I still love it today. But you know, with all of that, and every member of the marching band in high school has his part that he must play. Every part that he must fulfill. And as a part of that band, I knew we had some vulnerabilities. I knew we had some problems. There was no doubt. But instead of blame, we held each other accountable to do his or her best. Now, there were some who were great musicians, no doubt. And there were some who were great at marching. And there were some who were great at both. And then there were some that were great at neither one. But when each one did his or her best, they found themselves accepted because they were striving toward that goal. Those who were slackers and those who were divisive because they couldn't keep their mouths shut and were always stirring up something, well, they were found out and found themselves with peer problems. Some folks, by the way, just like to complain just because they can. And you know, in like manner, we see that in the family of God. We see those who would rather whine and complain than be accountable for being active as God's children. But there was a saying that went back, I guess, as far as high school bands go, that I often heard, and it was simply four words: one band, one sound. And when it comes to the family of God, our elders say about us, one happy family. We can be that, finding a purpose in our obedience to God. Paul addresses the Ephesians with a similar idea. As we go back and we look, there were different people with different roles, but all important in the family of God. Every person has his or her part and is accountable to do his best. the happy family recognizes those who are divisive and, much like we spoke of earlier, finds themselves with peer problems. The happy family will mourn, but let the divisive go. We read in 1 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 11, "But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one." But those who honestly struggle, and we all do to be God's people, find themselves a part of that happy family. We all struggle, the young and the old, the tall, the short, the fat, the skinny, the red and yellow, black and white. We are all precious in God's sight. To be this one happy family, we need to realize that happy people don't fail. They just learn. And if this very day, the importance of being a part of God's happy family has come upon you, I would like to share with you what Jesus has said that we need to do to be a part of that happy family. He tells us in John 8 and verse 24 that we need to believe that he is the Son of God. Now we read in James chapter 2 and verse 19 that even the demons believe and tremble, but they don't act on their faith. Now what we find here as we continue that Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 that we need to repent. He repeats himself there in verse 5. And then we read in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 that we need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 reminds us that we need to be those who live a faithful Christian life. And we find in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that he is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins one to another. And then we get to chapter 2. And John says, "My little children," by the inspired hand of God, he's bringing these words to us. "My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And we can know that we know him if we keep his commandments." To be that happy family, we've got to do it God's way and keep his commandments. This morning, as we sing the invitation song, I ask you, I beg you, come be a part of God's happy family now as together we stand and sing.